We're in Matthew 6. If you want to go ahead and find your place there, we made it a little over halfway last week, and we won't be able to retread all that ground, but I'll go through and we'll refill the bullet points, and that will help us to refresh kind of on what where our thinking was. And there's just so much to say in the Word of God about hypocrisy, because it is a dangerous thing, especially when it comes to the Church of God. I forget who I quoted last week. It's in my notes. Maybe it was Augustine. He said, all other vices bring forth bad things. Hypocrisy brings forth good things in a bad way. And so there's such an appearance of goodness to hypocrisy. And for that reason, it is exceedingly dangerous to a church. It's even exceeding dangerous to a believer, because our Lord Jesus Christ looks at us and says, take heed. You take heed. And we'll begin there. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. We're not going to read it just yet. We'll get to that. We'll do our reading in just a moment. Here's your first bullet point. Doctrine is inseparable from deeds. Another way to put it is that your belief directs your behavior.
Amen.
And it's very important that we, like we said this morning, we allow the Lord to work on our thoughts, to work on our minds. And I think it was K.P. Yohanan who wrote the book, The Road to Reality. And in that, his main thesis was that heaven is real and hell is hot, and God is real, and the gospel is real, and salvation is real. And that is reality. And we've been so conditioned by the culture and by everything around us to kind of set our church life as just an aspect of our life. And we believe that at church, and that's good for church, but here's the real world, and at work it's the real world, and that type of thing. No, 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 no. If heaven is real, and God is real, and the gospel is real, and Christ is real, and that's more real than anything else the world has going on. That should overcome everything else in our life. We should believe it. And our belief directs our behavior. That's why we're suffering the effects right now of telling our children that they're animals. And that's been going on for many years. Telling our children that they're just some cosmic accident without purpose. And we're suffering the effects of that right now as a nation. I'm not saying that we did that. I'm saying we have done that. As Daniel said, we. All right, next bullet point. Take heed. Comes from the Greek word prosecho. It means to hold the mind towards, or in effect, pay attention to, be cautious about, beware. What Jesus is saying is put your mind on this. Pay attention to what I am about to tell you. And he says, pay attention, take heed, take heed, take heed. Selah, take time to think about these three things. Number one, giving. Let's read about that. Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So giving your alms, that's number one. Number two is prayer. Verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So number one is giving, number two is prayer, and number three is fasting. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Number one, the act of hypocrisy. There is a five-word phrase in Matthew 6, verse 1, and really that's all we're concerned with in this lesson is Matthew 6, verse 1. And the word theotomai is the Greek word translated as the phrase to be seen of them. All five of those English words come out of that one word, to be seen of them. And it means to behold, to look upon, or see. And theotomai is where we get our English word for theater. Theater. Hippocrates, and you recognize that one, is the word for hypocrite. In Matthew 6, verse 2. It simply means an actor under an assumed character, a stage player. And this idea is not just limited to the teaching of Jesus. Anyone who pays attention to human nature will tell that people tend to be duplicitous. And I'm of the opinion that there's nothing wrong with trying to put a good foot forward. That's why I brush my teeth. That's why I put on deodorant and use soap. I'm not trying to put on a mask. I'm not necessarily trying to hide anything. You know what I would smell like without that stuff. But I want to put a good foot forward, right? That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about men who play-acted at religion, men who put a mask on. And I think it was Shakespeare who said, all the world's a stage and the men and women merely players. And Jesus is saying, don't be like that. Let all the world be like that, but don't you be like that. Be authentic. Be an authentic Christian. At all points of time, at home, in private, in public, in all places, don't be a play actor on a stage. Mark 7, verse 6 is your next bullet point. He answered and said to them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their what?
Heart
is far from me. And the Lord Jesus is saying, don't be like that. Take heed that you don't be like that. And that's a strong warning from our Lord. And so we should take heed. We should give earnest attention to this teaching. Number two, not just the act of hypocrisy, we see the harmfulness of hypocrisy. And we said this, your first bullet point, when someone pretends to be who they are not, it is always for an insidious, selfish, ungodly reason. The lady who's been coming with Gina, sitting back here on Sunday mornings, her name is Ginger. And Gina said this morning, she said she's not going to be here, pray for her. It's been a hard week, and she started telling me some things. She was in the bank that got robbed on Friday. She was working. And the man came up to her with his hand in his pocket, put the money in the bag, you know. And she told me it was interesting. They caught wind that they were coming in because someone saw them outside and was taking pictures of them climbing out of their car and putting on their masks. Now, if you work in a bank and you see someone outside putting on a mask, you know trouble's coming, right? And so this dear lady, she hit the alarm right away. And the way Gina explained it, she panicked and she started emptying the drawer and hiding it everywhere. So when loss prevention came, she said, "Look under my desk." And they looked under her desk and there's so much. She said, "Oh, there's more in the candy bowl." And they looked in the sucker jar and there was money in there. And when you see someone putting on a mask, they're not coming to help you. There's an insidious, harmful reason behind it. And the same is true for the house of God. If someone puts on a mask before they come in those doors, it's not for our benefit. It's for a selfish, ungodly, and harmful reason. Here's your next bullet point. Hypocrisy is harmful in three ways. Number one, it's harmful to the kingdom of God. And we explained what Jesus said. The Pharisees crossed land and sea to make proselytes. And when they were made, Jesus said he made them. They made them twofold the child of hell, because not only were they still children of Satan, now they had a false hope. Look at this verse here, Matthew 23:13. "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves." This is the testimony of Jesus Christ. "You don't go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." It's not just enough that you don't go. You're trying to keep others out of the kingdom. The Pharisees were not insincere. Think about Paul. Sincere man in his religion. But he was not authentic. He was not a genuine believer. He sincerely believed the wrong thing. And Jesus said, "Shut up the kingdom of heaven. You don't go in and you don't suffer them that are entering to go in." Here's your next bullet point. When a man is hypocritical, there will be damage done to the gospel. When damage is done to the gospel, souls are lost. And there's a reference there. You can look up and it'll help you. Number two, it's harmful to the church of God. Hypocrisy is the most dangerous thing, this is your bullet point, that can enter into a church because it always has the appearance of godliness. Some form of godliness. I think 2 Timothy talks about they that creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. We think of Barnabas carried away with the dissimulation, and the church is harmed when hypocrisy comes in. And then number three, hypocrisy is harmful to the hypocrite. I would go so far as to say that it is a sentence to hell for the hypocrite. Now, a believer can allow hypocrisy to creep into their life, but God will discipline and chastise them, and God will work in that heart. But a person who spends their whole life play acting at religion and never has a relationship with God is going to wind up in hell. Listen to what Job said. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Oh, I'm sorry. No. Job 8 verse 13. "So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish." Isaiah 32 verse 6 says that hypocrites have a vile heart. Job said this, Job 13 verses 15 through 16, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him." Some powerful, powerful thoughts. A hypocrite will not stand before the Lord. There's no place in heaven for the hypocrite. That's why I'm very careful who I call a hypocrite. When I was in college, there were some young men, you know, my age, and it was popular to throw around hypocrite. You know, so-and-so, you know, I found out he did this, or he said that, or he told this joke, or he was standing there listening, and he acts like he's holy. He's such a hypocrite. So-and-so is a hypocrite. And they toss the word around. You know, gossiping doesn't make you a hypocrite. Telling a dirty joke doesn't make you a hypocrite. If you're a Christian, it might make you carnal, or will make you carnal, but it doesn't make you a hypocrite. A hypocrite is a person who appears to be a child of God, a person who appears to know the way to heaven and be on the road to heaven, but in reality, they're on the road to hell. Jesus gives us several word pictures. Number one, oh, this is your bullet point. There were several word pictures that Jesus gives us to understand what a hypocrite is. Number one, hypocrisy is leaven. Let's go ahead and look these up. We'll take the time to do that. Luke 12, verse 1. We'll read these verses together. You know, the Lord still tells us to take heed. Don't be like the hypocrites. I don't believe a saved person can be a hypocrite, but I believe they could be like them, if that makes sense. And the apostle said, and such were some of you. Oh, you're washed, you're cleansed, you're made new by the blood of Christ, but you can still act out those ways. You can still live out those carnal, sinful things. But Jesus says this in Luke 12, verse 1, in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Leaven, when it's put into the dough of bread, is what makes it rise. You put leaven in just a little bit, it spreads throughout the entire lump of dough until the whole thing is leavened. And even a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. And Jesus says hypocrisy is leaven. And if you let just a little bit in, it'll spread to the whole thing. Matthew Henry said, take heed of hypocrisy, for if it rain in you, it will ruin you. Number two, Jesus said, go to Matthew 23, 27. He said, hypocrites are whitewashed tombs. Whitewashed tombs. Matthew 23, verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Hypocrites give an appearance of beauty, but on the inside there's death. There is no spiritual life on the inside. There is decay and there is rottenness, but no life. The life of God is not on the inside, only hypocrisy and sin. Number three, Luke 11, verse 44. Hypocrites are concealed tombs. Not just whitewashed, but totally covered over. Again, these things highlight the harmfulness of hypocrisy, but they also highlight the danger, the insidiousness of it. Luke 11, verse 44. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Men aren't aware they're in the presence of death when they're in the presence of a hypocrite. Consider that. They don't recognize that they are in the presence of a dead person in the presence of a hypocrite. The hypocrite is a corpse that douses himself with perfume, with religion, like a perfume, so that people won't notice the smell of decay. Number four, in Matthew 13, 25 through 30, hypocrites are tares among the wheat. You see, the Lord, he doesn't have good things to say about hypocrites. You know, it's not just, oh, you know, sister so-and-so said she was going to bring a casserole to the potluck and she didn't. What a hypocrite. No, no, not like that. This is some serious condemnation from our Lord for specific reasons. Matthew 13, 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And the tares are weeds that look like wheat. They look like the wheat, but they don't have the grain within them. Then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Tares look just like wheat, but they're not useful to the farmer. They're not useful in any application. They're weeds. And hypocrites are in their appearance just like God's children. But God knows the difference between those that are His and those that are not. I can't tell. You know, I know myself. I don't know anyone else. You know, even my dear wife. She knows me, she thinks. I could put on a mask, right? Wouldn't that be horrible? But there are people like that. God knows. God knows the difference. God will separate the wheat from the tares. God will separate the lost from his children. He will reward his children, but he will judge the hypocrite. Number five, hypocrites are wolves in sheep's clothing. Go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7 is one of my favorite lessons Matthew 7:15, this wolf in sheep's clothing. One of my favorite lessons out of the book of Matthew so far, and I won't do too much, won't tip my hand too much right now, but look at what Jesus says. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Aesop made a fable off of this thought. And I'll read to you his fable in his own words. This is what he said. Quote, A certain wolf could not get enough to eat because of the watchfulness of the shepherds. But one night he found a sheepskin that had been cast aside and forgotten. The next day, dressed in the skin, the wolf strolled into the pasture with the sheep. Soon a little lamb was following him about and was quickly led away to the slaughter. At evening, the wolf once again entered the fold with the flock. But it happened that the shepherd took a fancy for mutton broth that evening, and picking up a knife, went to the fold. There, the first he laid hands on and killed was the wolf. Not unlike the wolf in that story, the wolves who enter into God's flock will be dealt with, but not by accident. God sees the wolves in sheep's clothing, and God on purpose will punish those who pretend to be his children. He'll expose them and he will give them their reward. And that brings us to number three, the reward of the hypocrite. There's the act of hypocrisy, an explanation of what it is. There's the harmfulness of hypocrisy, how dangerous it is, not just to us, but to the whole world, the kingdom of God, the church of God, the hypocrite himself. And number three is the reward of the hypocrite. Job did say the hypocrite's hope will perish. You go back to Matthew 6 if you would. Because really, what does the hypocrite hope for? They love the praise of men, is what Jesus said. They love salutations in the marketplace. They love the chief seats in the synagogue. They love the titles. Jesus said they love to be called Rabbi, Father, and Master. And those names are significant. They love to be called Rabbi to show that truth came from them. Rabbi's teacher. I'm the source of truth. Call me Father, because relationship with God comes from me. Call me Master to show that the law comes from me. I love to be called teacher. I love to be called Father. I love to be called the Master. When really those things we should find in God. You see, these hypocrites set themselves up in the place of God. There's a man on the earth today who loves to be called the Holy Father. And all of his little priests say, call me Father. And Jesus specifically said, don't call any man your father. God is your Father.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Jesus Christ is our master if we are his disciples. But the hypocrite says, call me Rabbi, call me Father, call me Master. Jesus said, call each other brother. I like that. Folks say, what should I call you? Are you a Christian? Call me brother. I'm your brother. And I love that. But all those things that they love are going to fail them when they stand before the one who tries the hearts of men. Look at the one who knew what was in the heart. Look at what he says, Matthew 6, verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. If you're in the habit of marking in your Bible, underscore, they have their reward. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, say it with me, they have their reward. Matthew 6, verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, once more, everyone, they have their reward. They have their reward. They have their reward. They have their reward. Three times, Jesus reminds his disciples, don't be like these men. They are receiving their rewards now. What do they hope for? These things. The praise of men. The applause of men. And they're getting it right now. They're getting these things. They have their reward. Literally, they possess. Here's your bullet point. The hypocrite possesses their entire reward now. There is nothing more for them in this life. Nothing more for them in the next life. They're giving because they give a lot. Their giving will only be rewarded in this life. Their prayers, because they pray a lot. Their praying will only be rewarded in this life. Their fastings, because they fast often, will only be rewarded in this life. With the applause of men, with the praise of men, they get no reward from God because their only concern is the praise of men. It's a sad, sad state for a man to live and die in. Here's your bullet point. For that reason, I say this. There is no one more short-sighted than a hypocrite. There is no person more short-sighted. Men who know the truth and reject it in favor of a life of hypocrisy. And Jesus says, they have their reward. And someone says, well, I'd better not give in any public way, right? I'd better not pray in any public way. I'd better not ever fast in any public way. But go back to Matthew 5 and look at verse 16. Jesus isn't telling us to do everything in secret because he just told us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. A city that's set on a hill can't be hid. Amen? Let's try that again. A city that's set on a hill can't be hid. God intends for our good works to be seen by men. So how do we balance this out? Understand this. Doing good works in public is not what makes a hypocrite. Check out your next bullet point, and I messed this up. It should say the difference between the authentic Christian. And I fixed that in my notes, but I didn't fix it in yours. But the difference between the authentic Christian and the hypocrite is this. The hypocrite gives, prays, and fasts so that men will praise him. You see, it's all about the motivation. The sincere, or we would say the authentic Christian, gives, prays, and fasts so that men will praise his God. Not him. He wants the honor and the glory to go to his God. That's what makes the difference between the wheat and the tare, the wolf and the sheep. And only God can see that authenticity. Only God knows that. But you can bet your bottom dollar that God will separate the two. And the one will go to everlasting judgment and the other will go to everlasting peace. One man put it, I didn't put this in your notes, but you can write this down. A.B. Bruce said this, we are to show when tempted to hide. And we are to hide when tempted to show. I'll explain that in just a minute, but here's what he said. We are to show when tempted to hide, and we are to hide when tempted to show. And what he means is this, is when our flesh says, hey, you need to hide that candle under this bushel, that's the time to let it shine. And when your flesh says, hey, let everyone see this good work that you're doing, that's when it's time to go into your closet and shut the door. If any man will follow Jesus, he's taught, let him deny himself. And when the flesh tempts us to show, we should hide. And when the flesh tempts us to hide, we should show. Now look at one more thing. Matthew 6, verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. And that's like we just talked about, the motivation. I'm doing this to be seen. Hey, if someone sees you giving, that doesn't injure you. But if you do your giving to be seen, that does. You see, that's the difference. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now, I'm going to address something that you may not even know is an issue, but as I studied this, I found that some people believe that Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees colloquially about Israel and God being the father of their nation. But Jesus plainly says in John 8, verse 44, that they were of their father, the devil. And so the Lord was not speaking to the Pharisees or speaking of the children of Israel. And while the Pharisees were most likely there, Matthew 5, verse 20 makes it pretty plain, he wasn't addressing them. And these opening 18 verses in Matthew 6 make it pretty plain Jesus was not addressing the Pharisees, which leads us to believe while he was speaking to the multitude, he was speaking to the multitude of his followers, his disciples, which brings us to this conclusion at your next bullet point. Jesus is emphasizing to his followers that they could also live a life that was without reward. And that's an important truth to keep in the front of our minds. Would you find Amos chapter 5 in your Bible? Amos chapter 5. Just like the Pharisees would spend their time giving, praying, and fasting without ever reaching the throne, the ear, or the heart of God, it's possible for a believer to live the same way. You know, I don't have enough energy to waste it, a lot of it. You know, and I wonder sometimes how many songs I've sung, how many prayers I've prayed, how many gifts I've given that never touched the heart of God or reached the ear of God. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to live that way. I want to know that when I pray, I get a hold of heaven. I want to know that I've rang heaven's number and that God is listening. When I give, I want God to be blessed. When I fast, I want God to be blessed. But even as a Christian, it's possible that I do those things to be seen of men. And there's no reward. No reward in it. Amos chapter 5, look at verse 21. God says, I hate. You know, we live in a society that hates hate. It's so funny. You see, God's a balanced person. He loves and he hates. And look what he hates. He says, I hate, I despise your feast days. And I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. And don't you see the strong language our God uses? He hates, he despises all of the things that they were doing. Though the things they were doing were things he had ordered them to do, he refused their service, he rejected their offerings because they were doing them without judgment and without righteousness. When the authentic Christian prays, it's sweet smelling. When the hypocrite prays, God says, I will not smell it. When you sing, I will not hear it. When you bring me an offering, I will not accept it. Go to 2 John chapter 1 if you would. So what Jesus is saying, in a nutshell, take heed, check your motives. If your life doesn't match up with what you claim to believe, you need to check and see that you're in the faith. If your deeds don't match up with the doctrine you claim, check and see, are you like those people in 2 Timothy chapter 3 who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof? But if you are surely a child of God, you say, I'm a believer, I've put my faith in Christ, I know that I'm his, I know that he's mine, be certain that your labors are done to please God. Don't waste your energy. Don't do what you do to be seen of men, but make your motive be the glory of your Father in heaven. This is your bullet point. Have no other motive. Take heed when you serve. Check your motives. Have no other motive but the glory of your Father in heaven. No other motive but God's glory. And we'll really dig into, starting next week, Lord willing, giving alms to the glory of God, and then praying to the glory of God, and then fasting to the glory of God, not for show, but for the glory of our Father in heaven. One more verse, it's your last bullet point, 2 John 1 verse 8, where John says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Look to yourselves. This is what Jesus teaches us in Matthew 6, verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the scripture, how it speaks to us, how it cuts us to the heart. Lord, I'm thankful for your salvation, but I'm also made aware that I can do like the hypocrites, that I can seek the praise and the applause and the adulation of men, and Lord, you know the weakness of my flesh. Lord, how I want others to like me. Purify, remove that, so that my motivation for all that I do would be the glory of my God. I pray for your church here, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts, that you would just continually reveal to us those places where we need growth, where we need to correct, where we need to repent, where we need to confess. Father, we certainly do, but give us grace to see those things and that we would be authentic. Lord, help us to be honest with you above all things. I pray for our church. I pray for each hearer, and I ask that you would help us in this time to commit to you the things you've spoken to our hearts about. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name.